Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another version of Behind the Mic, where we are live in downtown Detroit at the absolutely gorgeous Music Town recording and broadcast studio. And of course, thanks to our big sponsors that this is all possible. First of all, Michigan State University Community School of Detroit and Children's Hospital of Michigan Foundation. So thank you to those sponsors that help us bring all this to life every single week. And of course, there's many, many other things going on at Music Town. You can figure it all out at our website and our Facebook page, Music Town Detroit. So I'm Pam Rossi, and as I do every Monday behind the mic, I bring in local artists to talk to them and talk about their musical journey and, you know, and what the heck is up with them. So this week, again, a local musician. Welcome to Carrie Lynn Roche.
Hello.
Good afternoon. We're afternoon.
Yes, we're in afternoon now.
Welcome. Thank you so much for coming onto the show this morning and sitting down and talking with all of our listeners. So
yeah.
Appreciate that.
Thank you for having me.
We have never met, which is always interesting for me. I can find out about you and I hear about you or whatever. So it's always exciting when I have someone that I've never met. You know, I've had many artists on the different shows, so it's kind of exciting. So welcome and thanks for being here.
Yes.
We have the snow going on right now. We're in Michigan, but didn't stop us from being here today. So just be careful out there heading back home. So, I'm trying to think, I through a mutual friend is how I heard about you. It's like, gotta get Carrie on. So thanks, Dave.
Cool. I didn't know this.
Yeah, well,
thanks, Dave.
Dave actually is running our telecaster today. So I love researching and finding artists, but it's always helpful when someone says, get this person on or whatever. Oh. So just want to talk about you're fairly young, so I just wanted you haven't been in the music business all that long from what I understand. So I just want to let people know who aren't familiar with you, you know, this journey that you are on and maybe, you know, where you're going and where you've been and all that stuff. So first of all, I heard that you started doing this music stuff at a very early age, like in your early teens or something.
Pretty young. Yeah. Actually, it was probably, I would say before the teens.
Oh.
I thought that I was a star before I was a teen, and that brought me into theater very young.
Okay.
And that was like pretty much my first experience with music, was doing plays and, you know, commercials, things like that, voiceovers.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of family in advertising and stuff, so that definitely helped. You know, the kid in the Ford commercials doing the,
like that was you,
awkward.
Huh?
Yes. And so it all prepared me to learn a little bit more about, you know, what I'm doing now. But it definitely is, the business aspect of it is not my strongest suit. It's more the creating and just experiencing what this is for me is really just my soul, and like that's coming out for everybody else, you know. And when mm-hmm. I've seen other people be affected by it, that was like the coolest part, was to see how it, you know, brought joy to other people too. So
do you think if you didn't have that connection with, you know, family into the advertising, that you would have gone this route? Or,
well, so my older brother also does music, but he does it, I mean, he can pick up any instrument and he's just, you know, amazing. I looked up to him, you know, for most of my childhood, and I always wanted to be as good as him. You know what I mean? It's like today I'm still struggling with that, but as far as instrumentals go, but I learned that my voice was an instrument that I had. In my family, they really, pushed for me to continue to use that because it was something that, it was kind of a hidden talent that none of us knew. And as I got older, I started to progress, and I had this really soulful, bluesy voice that everybody's like, where does that come from? Like, is that coming out of that little girl? You know, and so it was something, you know, and I had like a lot of influences who were like Aretha Franklin and Etta James, Ella Fitzgerald. Yeah, I loved a lot of, really passionate soul singers, so that was something. I think everybody heard it and they were like, okay, let's do something with this, you know.
Yeah. So. Did your parents play that kind of music, and so it was, you were always around it?
You know, not so much, but I know that as soon as I had heard it for my grandmother, she was a huge Whitney Houston fan. Oh. And I, in the short time that I got to be with her, I had exposure to Whitney Houston, okay. which I was like, wow, this is woo.
Yeah.
This girl can sing. And so really it was just like I, you know, had gotten older. I found Celine Dion. That was a big moment for mm-hmm. me. And people laugh at me today because I still, you know, it's like she's one of my favorites mm-hmm. just because she taught me a lot about, you know, being a singer, being a songwriter, being a musician and an artist, and putting your soul into everything you do because that woman definitely does not do anything without yeah. it, you know. Yeah. So yeah, that you know, I think that all came about with me sort of picking around once I remember my dad taking me to Harmony House, you know, like when
record
I was
store, yeah.
yeah, super, you know, super young, but bought like my first 5 CDs mm. and
which were what?
I actually, these probably aren't going to shed much light on my you know, as far as an artist go, I think it was Alanis Morissette, Celine Dion, The Cranberries, Tragic Kingdom by No Doubt, which today still is one of my favorites. And what was the 5th? I'm not even sure, but I know for sure those 4 were there. Jewel.
Interesting.
The
all women.
Yes. Yep. All women.
Influenced, yeah.
Yep. And then another couple years later, I was into the more, you know, boys who rock and Blink-182s and stuff mm-hmm. like that. So, but yeah, I definitely, and Cranberries, I saw the Cranberries. That was one of my very first concerts with my mom. So, you know, and Dolores has recently passed. So that
oh,
was,
yeah.
you know,
shocking, but
yeah, total bummer, but still, she, you know, another huge influence to who I am mm-hmm. as an artist. So
there always has to be, I shouldn't say has to, but normally that somebody or some group is what kind of puts you on a different, you know, on that path of the type of music. And so some very strong women there to follow, you know, and to influence. Did you, when you were young, you know, you were saying a little age, so about how old were you at that point when you started doing all that? And
what was my first, well, there's like videos. I don't really have a whole lot of memory of being like 5 and 6 maybe, but dancing, singing Elvis Presley was apparently a big one because there's a lot of videos of me doing Elvis with this small guitar. But I don't really know. I think maybe I was about 10 when I got those CDs and okay. finally had, you know, knew what I was doing with mm-hmm. them and how to,
yeah.
you know, how to actually play the music. And
the you
machine.
Sang along with them. And
oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, sang along was like, that's an understatement. I mean, I was them. That was, you know, I thought I was Celine Dion. I thought I was Alanis Morissette. I thought, you know, it's like, and Gwen Stefani, that was, I recently got to do a show where it was a Halloween show and we did, the whole band, we did No Doubt. So I got to do full-on Gwen and had blonde hair and
the wig and
the makeup and the, you know, it was like my dream, so.
Did you like, did you kind of like, for a little bit, you were Gwen and not Carrie?
Oh, it was for like a transfer? Week prior to the show. I knew pretty much every song and in its entirety and but it was like practicing her quirks in her voice mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. You know, like crop tops and funky pants and funky shoes and Rastafarian wraps and red lipstick. I was totally had lost myself in it for like a week prior to the show. So
how fun.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and again, you know, just another big artist that you, you know, influences you. And do you find yourself when you like, for example, imitating Gwen, and all of a sudden you're picking up her things? Does that stick with you even though you're out of the character after you're done with that performance?
You know, I think that there's some of my songs that have been highly influenced, and definitely there's stuff that I hear. It's interesting because a lot of times the question comes up, what is your genre and what do you consider yourself as an artist? And I would say it depends on the day and it depends mm-hmm. on, you know, like what I'm feeling. Because uh-huh. there's recently I've been writing a lot of stuff that is influenced more by that like 90s era, you know, and mm-hmm. I was listening to like Sinead O'Connor and I'm like, you know, this simplicity and this It's like that's where it's at right now for me is like, and these couple of songs that I'll do today, like really show that the simplicity in the music mm-hmm. is where I've found like the most beauty. I don't dress it up too much, but when I do, it's not really necessarily the stuff that I put out on the records and say, you know.
So you stay true to what your base.
Yeah, but I've been really, like, you know, I've been experimenting a lot, so, and kind of, like, finding myself more as, like, an adult artist, like, where I'm transitioning from this, like, you know, I've been doing it for over 12 years now, so the person I was when I was 16... 15 and writing songs now at, you know, almost 29, I'm mm-hmm. saying, oh, this is, you know, I can do whatever I want with it.
Well,
which
you
is
have
so
to
cool.
grow, you have to, you know, evolve. You can't, you know, mm-hmm. stick when you're, you know, 12 and 14, you know, that what
yeah.
you're doing then, you have to move on or you'll be lost in the dust, you
totally.
Know?
And it's so yeah. comfortable because people love a certain thing, right? And it's kind of like for me when my favorite artist comes out with a new CD and it sounds different. It's like, whoa. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What are you doing? You have to continue to honor, like, what is changing within yourself,
yeah.
Regardless of what the feedback might be. And sometimes it can be really hard because people might think, what are you doing with this here? Like, this just doesn't sound, but it obviously has to come out. There's something in there that has to come out. And lately there's been, like, a lot of electronic stuff I've been messing around with, which is really cool because, yeah, it's totally different than, but
yeah.
just like a new software on the computer has opened my brother showed me that, and it's like, why, my mind is blown with the things you can do, you know?
Yeah.
So,
huh.
But yeah, I definitely think that there's, for sure, like, I saw Tori Amos not that long ago and went home and started writing, and it's like, all of a sudden, I feel this Tori-ness going through me. I'm like, oh, you know, and she writes so fearlessly that that's how I started writing for the next week. So mm-hmm. I think that it's like very much a part of my artistry.
Yeah.
Is, you know, I've never tried to like reinvent the wheel or create a new genre within what I'm doing, but more or less like learn from these women who, mm-hmm. And men who I find to be really strong, you know, staples to me. So.
Well, in, as I said, you know, you have to grow and evolve and, you know, and you can't just stay in the same spot, you know. I mean, your true fans would like that, but then you may not find the other fans.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you, like when you're performing, as long as you go back and do some of those things mm-hmm. that you did before to, you know, make
right,
sure
don't
your
write
fans.
Them, right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, but, yeah, interesting. So you've evolved. So, and you're still going, I mean, you're very young. Like you said, you're almost 29, you said? Oh, well, it's been doing this for a while for sure. You know, who knows when you're like, you know, 50, what kind of music you'll be doing then, you know. So if you stick with the same stuff, you'll get in a rut, and then, you know, then that's the end of it too.
Mm-hmm.
So. And this is interesting. This is Jake.
Oh no, so I mean, introduce yourself.
I'm Jack.
This
Jack.
Is Jack.
I'm sorry,
Jack. It's okay. Jake. We actually met last night, and
that just blows me away.
Yeah, through a friend. So Jack Berger, he's here with me, and I'm so grateful for you being here today because he did not know the songs. I sat down on his couch and I was like, "Hey, will you do this thing with me in the morning?" And he's like, "What? Sure." So yeah, totally. You know, kind of on a whim, but. You know, obviously knows his stuff. It's
well,
funny. I can see it on the phone written out here at the courts.
That's so. Okay. I mean, geez, if you just met last night.
No, he knows his stuff. He's good. So
okay.
Thank you so
well,
much.
Yeah, no problem.
So are you in a band as well? And
not at the moment, no.
Okay. Well, someone looking for a guitar player? Or hey, with Carrie.
Hey, yeah, I know. I'm like, hold on. We might not snag him up yet.
Okay. You
know. I play with a lot of different people, but yeah, for sure. It's always really refreshing when you can find somebody who can pick something
yeah,
up right away
yeah.
and be like, yeah, I'll meet you there in the morning.
So when you perform, do you do a lot just you and, because you play guitar too, but
mm-hmm.
just you, or do you generally have full band behind you?
Generally, I have full band. So we all have been, I mean, it's just, we've kind of all done separate things the whole time that we've been playing together. I have a guitar player who's on tour right now with, you know, serious attachment there. I mean, I love them all dearly, but some have wives and children and, you know,
other lives.
Yeah. And I love their wives and their children. And so as often as we can play together, we do. But really, it's been more about me having to, like, you know, book the shows and get the stuff together. And for the last few months, it's just, you know, like in the winter, we don't do a whole lot. So it's pretty much like Carrie hibernates and writes music.
But well, you need that time. You need to
no doubt
veg it and and start writing. Yeah. So do you have a typical song that you write? How long does it take? I mean, what's an average?
I would say that if I'm really lucky, it will take me about well, I've had two different experiences, really. My most common is that I'll write pieces of songs, and then I go back, and find a piece and say, okay, well, this will really go well with this. And I've got napkins and, you know, when I was younger, it's like, I remember when we sold our house that we grew up in, my mom was like, moved my bed from the wall, and she's like, why is there, you know, there's writing with Sharpie marker and all this stuff. And I'm like, I didn't. In the middle of the night, sometimes I come up with these ideas, right? Yeah, and it's like, I don't want to get out of bed because I'm so lazy. So I'm like, oh, I'll just write it, like, right down here. And then I'll, you know, sometimes I have sticky notes. I run out of sticky notes right on the wall. It's like, oh, you lazy girl. I'm like, so.
You wrote on the wall with Sharpie?
Oh, yeah, oh, I did. Yeah. I know. Yeah, she didn't like it very much. We had Mr. Clean things. So I was, I was in deep trouble.
Hope they were good lines for a song.
They were, yes. I'm like, Mom, we'll make lots of money someday, hopefully.
This is the big hit, Mom. Yeah. It's okay.
So that was, that's an interesting story because, you know, sometimes it's like people will get in my car and they're like, man, it's trashed in here. It's just such a mess. And I'm like, you can't touch anything. Don't touch anything because you never know, like, what might have that lyric on it. And I'm like, no, please. It's like a dirty napkin that's been on like the salty floor for a week. And so yeah, I by no means like am like this organized sit down and write a song type of person. But if I'm really lucky, I'll get the bulk of it and then come back to it, you know. And that's really I really am not like, I don't sit down and write one. I kind of come back and I guess I, as I'm sitting here, I'm realizing I don't think I've ever, like, written a song in full just sitting down. It's just been very sporadic, and I've got lots of notebooks, so.
Yeah.
As long as I keep flipping through the
napkins.
Pages. Yeah, and use napkins sometimes that are, like, taped to the inside of the paper because it's like, okay, I got to stick this with this, and this goes with this, and the puzzle pieces just sometimes, like, come in the mail later than – you know, okay. I intended, if that makes sense. It's like I've got to finish it as the river flows, I guess. I can't push it myself. Sometimes it's like, oh, I just got to find out what's in. And then there's dry spells where it's like nothing's written for.
Yeah, that's pretty. That's not unusual for artists.
Yeah, it's it can be sometimes when it's too long of a time period, it's just frustrating. But I think that that's the cool thing is that we, artists, musicians, someone said this recently was, and I don't know if it was a famous quote or something, but as musicians, we're always falling in love, whether it be with our friends or other people and, and things, because we have to have these songs and these things to write about.
Oh, okay.
And my life has been so kind of like normal and, you know, non-chaotic for such a, you know, long period of time now that it's like, what do we write about? What do we come up with here, you know? Yeah. So now I've just found that it's like, okay, lose myself in like a book or learn from someone else's story. But personal experience, you know, is really like the most powerful thing, I think.
Most musicians
so you can't really,
would say
like,
that.
Force chaos or what, you know, I mean, I do it, but it just causes way too many problems.
Well, as long as you're still able to come up with some ideas and put something down, then that's all that matters at this point.
Right, totally.
Even if you have to dig through trash on the floor in your car to find those gems.
Dig up old stories or old experiences sometimes. Yep, so.
Well, let's talk about experiences because one of those was you were an American Idol contestant. This was season 12, right?
Yes.
Season 12. Who were the judges at that point?
Harry Connick Jr., Keith Urban, and Jennifer Lopez.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. So, I mean, those are some huge names. I mean, was it Tell us about that experience. And, you know, most people would never have this opportunity. So, you know, when you share with our listeners, you know, what that was like to you.
So it was a, I would say, just like you said, an opportunity that I never would have given it the amount of credit. Like, I didn't think it was going to be as amazing as it was.
Okay.
Prior to, my mom really wanted me to go. And she knows, she says, you always put me on the spot. It's like, well, you wanted me to go and do it, so I'm gonna tell them. But I'm so glad that she influenced me to try something that I was not comfortable with, because mm-hmm. it turned out to be, you know, regardless of them being three of the biggest names in the industry and a lot of the other people that I had the opportunity of meeting throughout the process, there's still people that really went through just, you know, the exact same thing to try to get to where all of these, you know, 100,000 plus contestants are. And so my thing with it in the beginning was that they're choosing one person, mm-hmm. right? And that it being television, it was something that I really wasn't super excited about, because I thought, this isn't really the way that I want to do it. I don't want this packaged product. I want it to be more grassrooted. But what it did for me was it gave me a lot of insight on the industry, a lot of insight on what it would be like if you did get a lot of exposure, because I did. I got national exposure on a very small level, and it was like, oh, my gosh.
Freaked you out a little bit?
Overwhelming. I mean, mm-hmm. just – and the coolest things, like, you know, where there's so much good, there's so much – you know, so many critics, and so there's always so much good feedback, and then there's the bad feedback, and
like what people are saying stuff online, like
It's like the comments, and that's the where I was like, okay, I've got to just stop reading it, because that's when you put yourself on a platform where you're going to reach so many people, you know, millions of people, mm-hmm. There's going to be good and bad feedback regardless. And as artists, I think that, like, I mean, I can only speak for myself. I'm the hardest on myself about a performance or about, you know, the way that I delivered something or interviews, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so it's really, it takes a lot, I think, for to really own, like, an honor, like, yourself as an artist amongst so many other amazing and talented musicians, because when you get in there, it's really overwhelming. You know, you
I can imagine.
Are, you know, in an audition initially with close to, I think there was closer to 10,000 people that had come to Detroit that year to audition.
Wow.
And some that travel, you know, from other states or cities.
Right.
And it's just very, it's emotional, because you have these long days and long hours, mm-hmm. and they're just picking people away. I found myself heartbroken for some people because they wanted that that, you know, so bad, title or the win. And the coolest thing, I think, for me was that I got to meet a lot of other people that do exactly what I love to do. Mm-hmm. And
good networking with 10,000 people, you know.
Yeah, no doubt. And I'm the introverted extrovert. So you put me in this crowd with all these people, and it's like, I know that I have to get out of myself and sort of, you know, people say, oh, you're a performer, you're fine. It's like, no, but I want to hide mm-hmm. from all of this. But you don't really have much of an opportunity to hide when there's cameras there all the time.
And, do you ever, like, realize you were not on camera, or you were and you didn't realize all of a sudden they're taping you? And
oh, yeah. They, well, not that unnerving. Actually made it on air, which, thank God, because there is some stuff that it's like, and after the fact, you don't know what's going to be shown on TV. Yeah. So I'm sitting there going, please, please, God, don't let that one time I had a meltdown in the hallway. Like, you know, because it is. It's extremely emotional. They don't.
Long hours, yeah.
Yeah, they don't exaggerate when they say, you know, it's a stressful. Mm. And you see your friends go and. So it's sort of like the real world, but you're just all in this.
But it had to change when all of a sudden you get the, you know, the yellow ticket, the gold ticket, whatever they call that.
It is, yeah, it's a huge, I mean, that was like that moment. Yeah, it's that moment, and then moments after that, continuing to go forward was like, I just couldn't. I guess what it did for me was allowed me to see myself as, you know, someone who may have had something like unique to, because I, you know, it's hard not to hear someone and say, wow, I can't do that as good as they can, or mm-hmm. I'm not. You're in the bathroom when you go in, just for an example, is like the arena. We were at Ford Field right here, and that's where the initial auditions are, and you go into the arena and hear all these singing voices, and it's just like...
That had to be fun.
And it is so loud. All of a sudden, it's like... And then you're in the bathroom, and you hear this girl, and she's like... And you're like, oh, my God, I can't do that. And these ballads and belting these songs, and it's just like, oh, no, I'm just this girl with this guitar trying to sing a little indie song.
I would imagine you have to put yourself in a position that says... Okay, I can do is be the best. I can't compare myself mm-hmm. to all these other people, because that would be detrimental to your performance, I would think.
I think that I've seen more people in the show, or like friends of mine that I had along the way, who got discouraged by the fact that they didn't feel unique enough, and allowed that to sort of, I don't know, I've seen motivation be tampered with because of it, because there are so many. It's very intimidating.
It's intimidating, yeah.
And luckily, I had my mom by my side pretty much the entire time, saying, there is no one else just like you. There is no one else just
Yay,
like
mom.
You. And bless her soul, because, you know, under stress and hot lights and stuff like that, it's like, I give up. I'm not wearing this, and I'm too much hairspray. Blah, blah, blah. And... You know, bless her soul, because she stood by me and was like, gosh, you're a brat, but we're going to get through this. and we did. And so, you know, I think that the experience in itself, it's priceless, because, you know, like I said, regardless of them being the, you know, three big names in the industry, validating me, and on a personal level, being able to talk with them after the fact and having them mm-hmm. say, you know, this is a TV show, and you must not give up on what you're doing right now. And so that's my I would want to say that to anyone in the future that tries out for shows, because I know that it can be very cutthroat, you know, to just like keep your individuality and remember that it is just TV. It's not
so.
You know,
from this experience, what do you think you learned that you can take away for your future into this music business? What is the one most the one thing that I think that affected you the most that will help you in this career? Is there anything?
Yeah, I would say that with every rejection I've ever, you know, gotten, this was probably one of those that, which you're being rejected in front of, like, the nation,
mm-hmm.
And then getting a ton of feedback and a ton of people who, you know... basically say the same thing, like I just said, is like, do not give up, like, keep going. And I received such an overwhelming amount of support from people who saw me in my artistry, and it allowed me to have a new sense of confidence as far as performing locally. And one thing for sure, too, is, like, it did give me a lot of insight on the business, in the sense that it is, like I said, it's cutthroat. Like, it is not it's not necessarily something that every day I wake up and say, okay, well, when I write this hit, it's going to be on the radio. When it's on the radio, I'm going to get to Capitol Records. When I get to Capitol Records, I'm going to meet the big guys, and I'm going to go. You know what I mean? It's like, now it's more like, I love doing this so much. And if I do it in a dive bar for the rest of my life, and I make enough money and I'm happy, it is okay with me. And that used to not be the case. It used to be like, well, I have to, you know, I have this thing I have to really, but you see it on a larger scale, and you see fame and fortune, and it's not necessarily something that, I guess, a lot of people may, and a lot of people have said, like, you're crazy for thinking this, but it was really overwhelming for me. And I don't know that I would want the spotlight as intense as it could be if, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, or at least not now. Not right now.
Not right now. Yeah. Just because, you know, and I, like, my my day job and the things that I do in my life are so important to me. And a lot of people just are like, you know, you have this opportunity. And yet the opportunity gave me so much insight on that.
Mm-hmm.
And what I want to do with it. And, you know, I mean, if it's something that, like, the business causes sometimes more stress than solitude for me, like, it's something that I love to write the music, I love to perform it. But the business aspect can be so intense. Well, that's what,
and musicians, it is a business. I mean, if you're gonna, mm-hmm. if you want to keep performing, you got to have the business end of it. Either you find someone that does that for you, you know, or mm-hmm. you learn to that this is part of what I do, and I have to take mm-hmm. care of both ends of it. So, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, the business of, you know, of being a performer. So.
Right, right.
Now, do you have albums out that people can get this music?
Everything is available online.
Okay.
On my website, which is carrielynroche.com. That's a K-E-R-I-L-Y-N-N-R-O-C-H-E. A lot of people do the C-A-R-R-I-E looking for me and going, yeah. I have no idea how to find you. But so, yeah, I've been, like, kind of messing with branding a little bit. Okay. KLR Music, which helps people to kind of understand that. Because my name is a bit long, and so.
And the Carrie and the Lynn, not spelled normally.
So. And then you might think that it's Lynn, and my mom, she sings in the shower, but I'm not sure how well. So, you know, no. Anyways, yes, that is my mother's name. But,
oh, okay.
So, yes, that is where it's available. Okay. Also, CD Baby and Shopify right now. So.
Okay. Well, good. Well, good. It's people will want your music, I'm sure, especially after the American Idol. You people want to find you where you're at and stuff. So, and do you perform much? You know, I mean, like you said, we're kind of in the winter. You're slowing down a little bit, but like,
yeah. So, we have done a lot of really awesome stuff. We've been over at the Fillmore, Detroit Opera House.
Okay.
We got to do this really cool event for AIDS, actually, which was sponsored by American Idol and Fox TV.
Oh.
And we did, and the band, we've done lots of different festivals, awesome festivals throughout the Metro Detroit area, Ann Arbor.
There's a lot of festivals around here, which is cool.
Yeah, so likely we will have some stuff coming up this summer.
It'll all be on your website so people can follow you.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Pam Exam, which
Pam
means
exam.
Some questions.
Mm.
All right. your favorite non-music pastime?
Non-music pastime. Oh, what do? Dance.
Oh.
Yes, I dance. And I'm not sure how well, but I love to dance. Actually, I'm sure, yeah, I dance okay. I'm not too bad. I'm getting better.
Did you take dance lessons?
Yes, I've been a dancer for most of my life also, but, you know, it's not necessarily my strongest.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say I stick with singing because I get out of breath and frustrated easily.
So you don't really dance a whole lot when you're performing on stage? Or does that play into it?
That's actually one of the comments. It's funny because I had a performance on American Idol where I was wearing this short, you know, cute little romper, and someone said, "Why does she dance like a chicken?" Oh my gosh, well, that's so rude.
What?
Yeah, I guess they called it the chicken dance. So
okay.
That was one of those rude comments that later my friends love to make that joke about the chicken dance. So, yeah, I dance in ways on stage. I guess I move my body.
Okay. Well, maybe from that early Elvis Presley influence, you know, you got a little going there. So, all right. Give me at least one thing that is on your bucket list.
Skydiving.
Oh.
Yeah. I got to zip line in Costa Rica a couple months ago.
Oh, fun.
And that was, it was amazing. And I think that I got I finally realized if I can do this, then I think I could do that. So it feels like it would be, I mean, we were in some, I know, jumping out of planes.
Well, people do it all, you know, every day. I mean, it's not out of the norm. So, but you go for it. You won't find me doing anything like that, but that's kind of scary.
Yeah.
So, well, there's a few jump schools out around here somewhere.
Yep.
So, we have a chance to do that. So good luck with that.
Thanks.
Anyone that you would like to collaborate with?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Definitely Tori Amos would be, I think, my Tori Amos or, let's see, Rain Maida from Our Lady Peace.
Oh.
I got to meet him not that long ago. I went and saw them. And he dedicated a song to me at their show.
Aww.
And because I got a chance to meet them before the show and talk with them about how much their music had helped me. And not necessarily as an artist, but more just through my life.
Mm-hmm.
And their music just helped me get through those teenage years, and it's like, oh, you know, you are my band. And they dedicated my favorite song to me, and it was super cool. Aww. He came down from off the stage, and so his music and how he writes, and just the fact that he's really good looking and fun to
it always helps.
You know, yeah, I'm like, gosh, yeah, that was yeah. So Rain Maida for sure.
funny. I already asked you that in the earlier.
We got double.
Well, from our when our, we were. Before we got to the questions.
Oh.
How do you discover new music?
Oh, well, actually, I've been using Spotify and Apple Music a lot. Has been kind of like the, you have like an option to go to artists like this. Mm-hmm. Okay. And
that's a nice feature.
Yeah, it's really cool because I've found, so, and on Apple they make you playlists of things that they think you might like. So you pay like the...
It's kind of scary, actually. It's like...
I know. Yeah. How do you know this much? Yeah.
But yeah. That's
so that's fun. Really... I would say that. And also going out, seeing people and openers, different people that open for artists that I like. Mm-hmm. And through friends or stuff that's been posted on Facebook, I try to have the patience to sit down and actually open it up and listen. Friends will send me stuff often, so.
Gotta love the friends, you know, it's like, hey, check this song.
Totally, and they know my taste, too, which is really cool.
That
so.
Helps, for sure. Mm-hmm. All right, what is your go-to song to sing while in the shower?
Oh, mash. Okay. Probably, let's see, A Change Is Gonna Come by Sam Cooke.
Ooh. Words to live by, huh? So do you see the change coming? I mean, do you see a direction where you're going?
I just love that. I think it's, you know, like, oh, gosh, he's so, I just feel like there's so much emotion in
that song.
Great
song. Great song.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's my shower song.
Have you ever
song.
Recorded that song, actually?
No.
Oh, you should.
My shower song.
Well,
call it the Shower Chronicles here. Yeah.
Everybody has a shower chronicle.
Yeah. Yep.
No, that's a good one. So, all right, we're going to hit a couple more, one or two more. So, let's see. What is your most memorable music moment? We probably know this one already, but.
The one I just told you about Our Lady Peace? Or American Idol?
Both of them. You've got a couple good ones there.
So, as an artist, I would say, yeah, definitely being able to do the show. Meeting a lot of the different artists. I mean, I've met I met Mariah Carey and Randy Jackson in that, American Idol experience and Ricky Minor, all of them, just like all the different people that I got to work with. And Jennifer Lopez, she's such an amazing human.
She seems very down to earth.
She's she rocks it, you know.
So the question is, do you have her cell number in your phone?
I don't. I wish I did. Because if I did, I'd probably be texting her like regularly. And then, I would be like, okay.
Darn.
Back off, honey. If J-Lo, if I had J-Lo's cell, that would be sweet. The Our Lady Peace concert recently, I had a lot of people who know me really well know that that band saved me from, you know, a lot of that teenage angst. And just, it was just such a cool experience. It was a musical experience for me because for him to say, you know, and I've dedicated songs to people before, but to be that girl in the crowd, it's like,
Oh, that's me. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I'm looking at everyone like, I swear, it's me. And then he found me, and it's like, see, I told ya. But, you know, it was the coolest moment ever.
You could almost, just hearing you say that, you could almost write a song about that.
I've thought about it since, like, you know, because it's...
There's so much emotion there.
Yeah.
That totally would be a good song. Yeah.
Yeah. Excuse me.
Yeah, I could see that. Can you help her on that, Jeff?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she needs help.
You know. That's right.
No. Okay, one last question here. If your life were a jigsaw puzzle and obviously still being put together, what missing piece would be added next?
One more time.
Sure. If your life were a jigsaw puzzle and still being put together, what missing piece would be added next?
Well, I want a wiener dog.
Oh, that came out of the blue.
I know. I have two dogs right now, but I figure it's better than saying, like, a husband or something. I don't know. I just don't feel like a jigsaw puzzle, missing pieces, things that are happening next. I don't know. My family is probably going to just, like, lose it when they hear that. It's like, no more dogs. You're done. Get a plant.
Get a plant.
Yeah. Jigsaw puzzle. I don't know. You know, I would say that if I were to choose the jigsaw puzzle piece, it would be a little wiener dog.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Interesting. There you go.
Nothing too serious.
Yeah.
Keep
yeah.
it light.
There you go. Well, that wasn't too bad.
All right. Perfect.
Yeah, just some questions. You never know. But you said you were going to not do another song. That's fine. But we want to thank you for coming in today. And just, again, let people know where they can find all your information if they want to follow you, get your music, find out where you're going to be playing, and, you know, hook up with you.
Yeah, however. Definitely. So, Music of Carrie Lynn Roche is on Facebook. That's a good platform. It's KerryLynnRoche, because I'm not Carrie Bradshaw, although some days I think I am. And KerryLynnRoche.com is my main website, okay, where you can find pretty much everything as far as buying records, merchandise, finding out where the shows are, and mm-hmm. My Twitter feed, all that stuff is on there. So, but yeah, I'm also on Spotify and iTunes, so you can listen, I believe, yeah, you can listen for free on Spotify, mm-hmm. And I have a YouTube channel also, okay. So.
Yeah, you got to keep up with all that stuff, you know,
yeah,
which is, sometimes it's a full-time job just to do all that stuff, too.
Yeah, you miss a couple of days, and you're already behind mm-hmm. on the next thing, yeah. So.
Any last words you'd like to tell everybody that's watching right now, or?
Well, thank you for listening. Thank you for having us, Jack. Thank you so much for helping me out today. And you guys will probably see us again performing, hopefully, sometime soon. Maybe we'll do an open mic or something.
Okay.
So, yeah, but for right now, there's not really much musically going on. Just kind of writing and hibernating in this weather.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, it's been a pleasure finally get to meet you. So, you know, happy to have you on here. And, you know, I mean, you got this amazing voice. You know, even though you said it was raspy today, you just got the, you know, the soulful bluesy. Thanks. Yeah, it sounded really good. So, so thank you for coming in.
Yeah.
I do appreciate that.
Thank you.
Again, you can watch this again over and over if you're a big fan of Carrie Lynn's, just on our Facebook page. And if you are a local musician that want to sit in these chairs here, all you have to do is get a hold of me. I'm Pam Rossi, and you can talk to me about being on this show, Behind the Mic, where we talk to local artists and dig a little deeper.
Cool.
So hopefully, you know, my goal is always that somebody learns something new about you, or, you know, finds out that's never heard you before, whatever, you get a new fan. So if I can reach those two things, we're good. So
awesome. Well, if I have anyone in mind, I'll definitely send them your way, too.
All right. Again, thank you to our sponsors, Michigan State University Community School of Detroit and Children's Hospital of Michigan Foundation. Those two sponsors keep this going here at Music Town Detroit. So, again, thank you to all of you out there listening today. We appreciate it. I'm Pam Rossi. Have a great week.